Okay. Here we go. Glad to be back with you this morning. Enjoyed that first session with you and enjoyed hearing a little bit of the history of the chapel. Anne just reminded me that we were out there for the 70th anniversary, and now we're here for the 75th. Uh-huh. I don't know if we'll be here for the 80th or not, but some of you said, hope not. I mean, not necessarily that we're going to be there, but that we'll all be in heaven. That's what we were singing. When we all get to heaven, that would be really great. So anyhow, if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue on some thoughts we had the last few times I was with you in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. You might remember that Paul and his team are on what we call the second missionary journey. And they were trying to go into Asia, Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said, no, not going that direction. And then a vision Paul had had a vision of a man in Macedonia across the Aegean Sea saying, come over here and help us. You remember that part? So they left Troas. They went across the sea. They arrived at Philippi to help the man in the vision. When he got there, there's only women, no men there. Kind of interesting. And Lydia got saved. You might remember that. And the jailer got saved and some other people got saved and there was a church established. And not long after that, Paul and the team traveled on, and they traveled on to Thessalonica. And that's where we get this letter, these two letters, actually, Paul is writing, possibly from Corinth. We're not exactly sure, but he writes back to the Thessalonians. This is the first of two letters that he writes. A few weeks back, we gave you some thoughts about the first chapter and part of the second chapter. Let me just review that for you. Paul is writing to encourage them. He's writing to answer some questions and maybe some problems even about respect for the leaders in that assembly, and to also encourage them that the Lord is coming and hang in there. And so there are many things in 1 Thessalonians, and we haven't gotten very far in the study, but the first time we looked at the first chapter. Remember, we're dealing with threes. We had the threes. We had three men, Paul and Silas and Timothy. Remember that? And we had three words of action, faith, love, and hope. This is all in chapter one. Then we had three ways that the gospel came to them in word, in power of the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Then we had three ways they responded. They responded by following Paul and the Lord. They were examples to the believers, and they were heralds of the gospel. They sounded forth the gospel. Then there were three marks of true conversion. There was repentance toward God. There was service, and there was the patience, the wait for the deliverance to come. And then we talked about in the second chapter, we talked about Paul being a faithful steward. We suggested a trustee of the gospel. He was put in trust, we read, of the gospel. Then he presented himself as a gentle mother, caring for, patient, taking time. He didn't turn his new converts over to somebody else to disciple them, to another babysitter. He made sacrifices and cared for them himself. The nursing mother imparts herself to her own children. And then he presented himself as a concerned father. These are things that we've done in the past. So a faithful steward, a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, and leaving them in the first part of chapter 2, we know that he encouraged them to struggle on. He set a good example of integrity, uprightness, openness, honesty. Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2, not only to work and set a good example, but take time to speak to the family. And that's what he's doing. He exhorted them, he comforted them, he charged them. Now, that's a very brief review. And today in our reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read in now beginning in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Please watch your Bibles. For this reason, all of the things that I've just sort of reviewed with you, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same thing from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us, that is the apostles, to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your faith with great desire. Therefore, we want to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Let's ask the Lord for help this morning. Father, it's our prayer that we might glean from these words, words of comfort, care, encouragement, conviction, perhaps, that the great God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ might take his hammer and chisel to us again, conforming and shaping and making us into the image of his Son. As we continue to read the letter to the Thessalonians, we know that the honeymoon season of the joy of salvation and changed lives falls into the nitty-gritty of everyday life. And Paul's encouraging them as they go through these growing pains to just keep going. So he reminds them of the beginning and how it happened and how that they do and will suffer, and how that he longs to see them and wants to encourage them. And so, Father, give us help and insight as we preach the word this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, growing pains are growing pains. Maybe you remember when you first got saved, how that you probably thought everybody should get saved. My goodness, the joy of salvation. Harold was talking about it, of how that there's an excitement and an adventure, and how you understand that you were the sinner and Christ was the Savior, and you've trusted him and he saved you. And like the Thessalonians, you've turned to God from idols and your life is changed. And that certainly is the case. And Paul reminded us how that he just moved in with that trustee of the gospel, shared the gospel, became that gentle mother and that stern father, and discipling them and encouraging them. And as we read now from verse 13 and following, there's some, at least in the beginning here, there's some really key words. I want you to just mark them in your Bible or take note of them. In verse 13, for instance, as we read, "For this very reason, we also give thanks without ceasing, because when you," here's the key word, "received the word of God." Received it. It was a word that was spoken, because he says, when you heard from us, you welcomed it. Now, Mr. Wiersbe, in his commentary, suggested, and I so appreciate some of his comments from time to time, that the Thessalonian believers appreciated the word of God. I like that. I think there's a disconnect somehow in this country, North America, Canada, U.S. The word of God has been so freely accessible. Chances are you have multiple copies of the word of God. Oh, I've got this translation or that translation or something. And if we're not careful, they just lay around, sometimes collecting dust. And I'm not sure that I certainly include myself, appreciate the word of God like we should. Now, let me remind you of something. The Word of God is a unique book. I mean, it's the most unique book that's ever been written. There's not any book like the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired. What that means is that God breathed it. Okay? Now, you're in 1 Thessalonians. Just flip over to 2 Timothy, not very far in your Bible. Just keep going to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by, see that word, inspiration? The very breath of God. God breathed it out. You know, in Genesis, said God made a man out of dust and he inspired that man. You know how he did that? He breathed on him. The breath of God. God breathed on that, that man made of dust, and man became a living soul. Well, let me tell you something. God breathed out the Bible and it became a living book. It is alive with the very breath of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice what it's good for. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice the reason, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You say, well, that's great, but God breathed it out, but how did we get it? Let's go to 2 Peter for that answer. 2 Peter, and you'll notice in chapter 1 and in verse 20. Chapter 1 and in verse 20. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were, now I'm going to just change this a little bit for your understanding, breathed on by the Holy Spirit, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, as they were moved to write and record the very words of God. Now, the Thessalonians received that word. They appreciated that word. Now, let us ever remember that without the word of God, we're done. We're hopeless. We're helpless. You can't write your own book. You can't make it up what God is like. You can't decide, I think I'll make 10 commandments for myself. You can't decide, I think I'll just decide who's going to be a savior and I'll figure it out and I'll write it down in a book and that will be my God. No. That's religion. Man write their own books. God has given us his book and this book is eternal. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. One day in heaven, I am convinced the Lord Jesus is going to open the Bible. He's going to open the 66 books and he's going to give us some teaching and some truths from the Bible. And I suspect, really, we're going to all have red faces and be so embarrassed and think, I had that book for years. I didn't read it like I should. I certainly didn't study it like I should. I didn't even know that was in the Bible when Jesus starts reading it, you know. But nevertheless, the Thessalonians, the Thessalonians, they received the word of God, and they received it not as the word of men. Every cult has their own book, their own interpretation, their own way of presenting what their religion is like or God is like. God steps out of heaven one day in the person of Jesus Christ and lives out in real time, in technicolor, in flesh and blood, the very words of God. He came to show us what God is like, to tell us how God thinks, what God's plan is, how we are included, how salvation comes to us. They appreciated the word of God. The word of God brings salvation. Listen to this, Romans 10 and 17. Faith comes by hearing. Oh, you mean by like hearing on the radio or TV or my neighbor? No. By hearing, are you listening? The word of God. How did the Thessalonians, how did they come to Christ? By hearing. It's right there in verse 13. They received the word of God, he said, which you heard. That's the reason Jesus sent us into all the world to proclaim the gospel, because faith comes by hearing the gospel, hearing that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that you're the sinner and he's the savior and God loves you and has a plan for your life. So they receive. Now, there's two ways to receive something. You can receive something with the ear, you can hear something, or you can receive something with your heart. Those are different. James the Apostle writes in his little epistle, chapter 1 and verse 22, He could say, just hearers only. Don't just hear the word of God, but do it, apply it, appropriate it into your heart, into your life. How many times Jesus in parables warned the people, take, or if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Well, what does that mean? That means not just the sounds that come into the ear, but the message of the sounds coming in to the heart. In the parable of the sower, you might remember that man went out to sow his seed. Some fell here, there, and the other. And at the end of that, it says, be careful what you hear. Because the word of God is coming that way. And do you just come in one ear and out the other? Or does it come in your ear and find a good soil in your heart and bring forth fruit to eternal life? And so we're suggesting they appreciated the word of God. Now, before I go too much further, could I ask you the question? Do you appreciate the word of God? Now, this would be a good time. You can all go like that if you want it. Now, be careful, okay? Be careful. Would you give up your necessary food for a Bible? Job said he would. He said, I long for your word more than my necessary food. Oh, now this is where it gets a little bit. You say, wait a minute. You mean, how much do I appreciate the Bible? What would I give up in order to keep my Bible? How about the second car? Do you think you'd be willing to give up a second car and keep your Bible? Okay, well, how about your first car? How about your only car? You see, that's not hard for a lot of people because they don't have cars anyhow, see? So what would you give up to have a Bible? We had a friend many years ago that had the privilege of going to Russia back when Russia was pretty closed, and they went in with some Bibles, and he said he couldn't believe that people would line up for blocks to get a Bible. And when they were giving these Bibles out, look at this, they take a Bible just like this one right here or something like this, and they would go, oh, a Bible, a Bible, a Bible. They would so appreciate, they had a Bible. I don't know, folks. I don't know. Some people, now listen, I'm not into, I got to be careful here. I'm not into Bible worship, okay? We got a copy of the Word of God. This is great. This is wonderful. This is necessary. It's awesome. I wouldn't burn this book. I wouldn't destroy this. Matter of fact, I got a Bible that almost burned, but I still got it. It was in a house fire and I salvaged it. Every once in a while, I look at it again, you know, and I go, oh, it's just like another one that I have, but you know, there's something special. I make notes and I outline and I write things and I memorize things. And sometimes it's just the page. I don't even know where it is, but I know where it is on the page. I'm so familiar with it. I love my Bible. I appreciate my Bible. What would I give up to keep it? How much do you appreciate the Word of God? Salvation came to you by the word of God. Maybe not the Bible you're holding this morning, but the words of Scripture, it came to you. They received the word of God, not in their ears, but in their heart. Can I ask you the question this morning? Have you received the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart? Oh, you can hear it. God loves you. Christ died for your sins. I know that. He rose again. I know that. Has it gotten into your heart? Have you received it into your heart? You see, the same Bible that brings salvation to you and you get saved is the same Bible for the believer that gives you freedom and liberty and will rescue you and will show you the path. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. It's a sharp and two-edged sword. It cuts quick into a person's heart, to the thoughts and to the intents. Have you received that word? They did. Paul said, you received it. Not as a fiction book, not as a history book, not as something written by men, but of God, the book of God. Have you received it? It will bring deliverance. Do you appreciate the scriptures? Secondly, they appropriated the scriptures. You say, what do you mean they appropriated? It got into their life. They received the word of God. You welcomed it not like men, but as it is the truth of the word of God. Notice it now in verse 13, which also effectively works in you who believe. Can I ask you that question? Is the word of God having an effect on your life? I know you got saved by the Bible. I know that. Has it changed you? The teaching, the doctrine, has the word of God infiltrated your mind? Is it conforming you to the image of Christ? Is it giving you a marked roadmap for your journey? Are you learning the promises of God? Are you being comforted? Do you receive the peace of God through? Have you appropriated it? Do you live by it? Is it final authority in your life? I just find it rather incredible what is in that verse. They received it. They appreciated it. They appropriated it. I suppose as I close this morning, let me say, have you applied it to your life? You say, well, how would I do that? Please listen in closing. This is the way you do that. You choose to do it. You choose. Yeah. Listen, you don't take this Bible and put it under your pillow and go to sleep on and say, well, I hope spiritual osmosis takes place and somehow it gets into my brain or my heart or something. That doesn't work. Okay. It's a different thing to meditate on the word of God. Yeah. So you read it. You know what the promise of Jesus when he sent the Holy Spirit? You know what he said? He'll remind you of the things that I've spoken. Well, you can't be reminded of something you never read. Okay. You got to read it. You got to let the Spirit of God work it in your life. But you must choose to do it. Let me give you a challenge. It's not too late. We're just in the early part of the second month. Read your Bible this year. You know, that's different from studying. That's just reading. It's going to take you enough time just to read it. You have your study time somewhere else. You get bogged down if you try to study the whole Bible in 1 year. You can't do that, but you can read it in a year. Do you appreciate it? Have you appropriated it? Have you made it part of the fabric of your life? Have you chosen to apply it in everyday life? Well, we didn't get too far, but we hope we got far enough that the word of God is going to be important to you. And we'll pick up with these thoughts next week. Let's pray. Father, it's our prayer that we would not quickly read words like they received the word of God and not think about it, what that means. how that affects us. And Father, I suspect that there's some people at least that are listening this morning that have received the word of God in their ear, but it hasn't made its way to their heart yet. And we're praying that today that might happen, that that word, that gospel message, that living book that talks about a living Savior might find a good soil in a heart today and bring forth fruit to eternal life. Father, I thank you for the lessons that we can learn from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.